What's up, everybody? What's going on? It's your boy DJ Locura, part of Sparkle PVD, alongside Cristina El Presidente. And on his way is the man with the root bands. We don't have Regina, the queen of the dance, though, but she'll be back with us in maybe a couple weeks from now.
I don't know. We'll see how midterms go, depending.
I know.
She might go crazy, pull out her hair.
Possibly.
Then I have to go put it and glue it back on her head. It's going to get crazy.
Damn, you went there?
It's going to happen. Midterms get people stressed out.
That is facts. But in the meantime, while we wait for the man with the root bands, we got our special guest here going on. You can say he's pretty popular within the Rhode Island scene, specifically in the DJ area. I know I've heard of him a couple times over the years as well. But he's no longer a DJ, or at least I think so. But we're going to get to the bottom of it right now. For everybody that don't know him, please give it up for my man DJ Trap, a.k.a. Wellbeam.
Check, 1-2. What's going on, Sparkle PVD?
What's up, man? Thank you so much for coming through.
You already know, man. For real, man. Been trying to get up on this.
I seen it
on Facebook a couple times. I'm like, what up? You know?
Well, yeah. We got you in here, man. What's up? How's everything?
Oh, man, you know, just working, man. I'm like a full-time chef right now.
No way.
Wow. Yeah, man.
Are you still at Punta Cana Bistro?
No, I'm not over there. The relationship didn't go well, so I kind of had to, separate ways, and I went my own way. I work at the Salted Slate right now. It's in the east side. It's like a farm-to-table type of restaurant.
Organic food.
Organic, you know, everything's made in-house. I love working there.
Real rustic.
Yeah, it's like, you go in there, it's like, you know, it's like, when you go in there, you be like, damn, this is a restaurant. Like, you know, it's real, real, real fly. Food is delicious. And I work during the day for a company called Snap Chef.
Okay.
It's like a union for chefs. So you go to this union, and then they just send you to places where they need you. Like, I worked at Dell. I worked for Salve Regina in Newport. Tomorrow I'm working for another Dell company. So they just send you to a kitchen, and you just adapt and just cook for, you know, whatever they want to do.
But, okay.
You know, I'm still DJing, though, still on fun. The side. You know?
Okay.
I just dropped a mixtape.
All right.
I got grabbed, like, it was mad funny. I saw you. I went out, and I saw you, remember?
Oh, yeah.
It was maybe 2 months ago.
It was at Van Gogh, right?
At Van Gogh. Yeah, that was a funny night. So I had too much to drink, and by the end of the night, when I first went in there, I grabbed him. I'm like, ooh, Trap's mixtape. And then I come outside, and I'm like, gone already. I'm like, let me grab 5 more. And my cousin's like, why do you need all them CDs? So I've been passing them out.
Yeah, so.
Okay, free promo. That's what's up.
Yeah, man. So,
I was
what
am I going to do with 5 of the same mixtapes?
Well, you know what happens. You know, he does it old school. He actually has official mixtapes.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, physical. CDs scratch easily. So, you know what?
That's true. Backup.
Yeah,
see,
exactly.
I didn't even think of that.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. It's true, man. Like, right now, you know, I've been trying to sell my mixtapes, but everybody's like, I use my phone. Like, I don't even have CDs in my car. Like, you know, so you got to adapt to that. You know, you have to, because if not, you're going to stay... You're going to stay left behind. The generation's moving so fast. All these old DJs don't even want to drop mixtapes.
Yeah, that's true. I see a lot of people doing it on the SoundCloud type of thing.
Yeah.
You do that as well, too?
I just put it on SoundCloud. It's hard to do it because I'm not so technical savvy.
Okay.
You know, but it's like, I had to like load the whole file, and then that took like 20, 30 minutes. So I'm like, you know, it's challenging. But, you know, I put it up there, and I'm on that piff.
So okay.
Tell everybody go on that piff. You know, it's on there for free.
You ever think about doing an app?
I want to do an app, but
like Bentley and Coro King.
That's the thing. Like Bentley and Coro King, and all these DJs are like consistent in the club scene right now.
Mm.
I'm not really consistent in the club scene because the music that drops on a weekly basis is just too much for me.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you got to stay up with Dembo. You got to stay up with Bachata. You got to stay up with Merengue. And then you got to stay up with Reggae and Hip Hop. That's a lot of music.
Yeah, and especially what you do right now, too, where you're also chefing it and then trying to balance out the DJ life as well. It is a lot.
It's a lot. You know, like, I work, tomorrow I'm working 6 in the morning to 11. I have no time to even listen to new music. So, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't know, man. And the music's like, I don't know. I'm not really a fan of all the music that's out right now.
That is true.
You know, I'm kind of like biased on like, this is hot. this is not hot, but I have to play this because this is what they're
this
requesting.
Is what they're hot. Exactly, I'm with you.
You know what I'm saying? So,
I'm assuming you're not a fan of the hip hop scene right now.
Depends. There's certain artists I like. Like J. Cole, of course. I'm always going to like J. Cole. Kendrick Lamar. I'm starting to listen to Lil Uzi Vert.
Okay.
He's different.
Different.
I like his style because he's very like into his music. He's emotional. As you can tell, like it, like Love is Rage 1 and Love is Rage 2. He's really into like his love for his girl. Or I don't know. To me, it seemed real. Even though he's popping Zannies and all that stuff, he's actually rapping about his feelings about something. You know what I'm saying? But I don't like 21 Savage. I don't know.
Me either.
I'm not a big fan of Cardi B. I'm sorry.
Here we go.
That's just not.
We were going
to
bring
but
that.
But like you said, you have to play her, though.
I have to play her, but I'm not a big fan. You know? Yeah, I don't know. There's certain artists that I like. Some artists I don't like. So
I just want to ask a question.
What up, Ruben?
Ruben's finally got in.
What's up, bro?
Yeah, traffic was heavy.
Traffic's always heavy.
You know, but we here. But yeah, Cardi B, you don't like her. Why?
Oh, man, come on, man. Like, it's just like, look at how she came up, dog. Like,
from nothing, though.
No, she did came from something because she's smart. It's not like she didn't go to school. She's smart. She's actually a smart girl. But the things that she's saying in her lyrics is just not my, you know, like, I have a daughter, like, you know what I'm saying? My daughter was bumping to her in the car, and I was just like,
if you only knew what they
were. You know what I'm saying? Like, she loves the beat, but, like, I can't adapt to that. Like, that's not.
But Cardi B did say she's not trying to be anybody's role model.
No, I know that. I know that. But she is a role model. That's the problem. And she's number one.
Unwillingly, she is.
She's number one on the Billboard.
Did you see that video that she recorded of herself recently?
No.
She was saying that she's been hearing a lot about how kids love her and they see her. When they see her, they cry. Like, Cardi B, we love you, we love you. Yeah. And she said, you know, I'm starting to think, like, maybe I should change my lyrics. And at the end, she goes, not today.
You know, I just feel like, crazy. You know, it's kind of, like, me being a fan of hip-hop is kind of hypocritical when people don't like her lyrics because, you know what I mean? Like, we have certain, like, us rap guys have certain, like, idols that when we were kids, we used to listen to.
No, of course.
And, like, you know, we're looking at it, of course, from a grown-up standpoint, but at the same time, like, you know, some of the people that we listen to don't have the best message.
No, of course, but not number one on the Billboard. That's my whole beef. If she wasn't number one, I wouldn't care. But she's been number one for how many weeks now?
So you're right. Saying no, it's she's just not number one anymore.
She's not.
Post Malone Rockstar is number one now.
Okay, so it's just the message that she's putting out. It's like I work for corporate now, so even white people be like, I can't believe that this song is number one, because even if it's clean,
she did it for the culture.
No, I know I did it, and I understand, but the way that the culture's going with them type of lyrics, I don't know, man. I wasn't feeling the song.
You
even when I first heard it, I wasn't really.
You know what makes
the beat's dope. But.
Happy the about this about the song is it's the story that she tells.
Yeah, but it's empowerment to women.
Exactly.
It is. It is.
And
it's
every
an empowerment
time I hear
to women.
It, the more I hear, the more I like it because I catch something else
different
that hits harder one day. Like, you know, and I pay my mama's bills. Like I felt it in my heart. Like,
yeah,
I don't
pay
my mom's bills, but I want to.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
and
yeah.
And so
yeah.
Hip hop is just crazy to see how far hip hop has come. Like. Every time a hip-hop song comes out, it's number one now. Not on the hip-hop charts, on the
billboards. Yeah,
like, genres. Like,
you know what I'm saying?
It's crazy to see. Like, look, back-to-back a hip-hop track.
Like I said, I like J. Cole's message. I think J. Cole got a dope message. He's not disrespecting women, you know. His message
not
is about
anymore.
His hood. Well, I never really heard a song where he's like talking about like ratchet stuff.
Well, yeah, not ratchet,
song.
But he does get disrespectful. Well, he did. Not
sometimes.
You know.
You know, but now he knows how to code it in the right way. Where,
yeah. So you know, you grow. You know, you grow up, and
that's
you know,
part of you know.
That's part of my thing. Like I'm 33, so I already, you know, that music is not my music. It's like old school music, like Nas, Jay-Z, KRS-One. But this new music is like, I don't know. It's the message is like popping Zannies. I don't pop Zannies. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I don't do that. I don't drink lean. You know, I barely smoke weed. Like, that's just not my style. I don't even drink liquor like that. I drink wine. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm a chef, so I'm a big wine drinker. So, you know.
Mm. Okay.
Wow.
So, yeah, man.
So let's get right into it. How did you come about becoming a chef? Because let me tell you.
Let's backtrack.
Oh, you want to backtrack? I was going to backtrack. Here's the thing.
I know these two for a long time, though.
I'm going to go back on you because when I was president of the Latin American Student Association back in 2010, 2011.
Wow.
My first party, I was trying to book a DJ, and I actually contacted you.
Oh, you did?
And I was just like, you know what? I was just going back on old flies. I'm like, oh, DJ Trap, let me reach out just because I'm sure we still have that relationship with him from the prior students. Never got back to me. I'm like, damn, this guy.
Now I was busy, man. You know, I'm at that time I was really busy.
Now, I understand that you were definitely one of the DJs that were out here just like, you know, like you said, consistent in the scene. I always put you up there like with DJ Flaco too at the
Travieso time, and Travieso too.
They were all out there too. So, but backtrack. Is that where you want to go for?
I was gonna start with the music. Yeah.
So first off, like music. You know, I started DJing when I was 13, 14. I started doing tape decks. So I bought a Nas tape and I bought the Corpona Noriega tape. And I seen my favorite DJ is always gonna be Kid Capri, but I seen Funkmaster Flex. DJ with two tapes, and I was just like, yo, like, you know, I started mixing. Then I told my dad and my mom, yo, you know, I want to be a DJ. Can you buy me a CD player? Instead of buying me a CD player, they bought me turntables at a yard sale. So I got into DJing like that, you know, DJing in the bedroom, just mixing around. I didn't even know how to do mixtapes. I was just basically learning. My first gig ever was at Central High School. I did a pep rally.
Hey, Central Knights. Oh, like, my God.
This is like 99.
Nobody got to know.
hey, I'm going to say it was 1999 or 98, I think it was. It was a minute, but I did the pep rally, and they loved it. They loved the songs that I was playing. Then my first gig ever as a club DJ was all ages at La Palmas. No, it was called Incas.
Incas. Oh, so is that Caribe?
That's the Mambo, where Mambo is now. It was Incas before.
Not Mambo, now is Mi Sueño.
Mi Sueño. So it has so many names. So Incas, that's right. It was Incas. I did Incas, then La Palma. Then it was Mambo for a long time. Then it became Mi Sueño.
Yeah, Mi Sueño's been there for like 15 years.
So, you know, that was my first gig, man. Damn, guys. All ages. And it was dope. The party was packed. There was like 300 kids in there. And, you know, just DJing ever since. I've done every club. I haven't done every club here now, recently, but I've done every club.
The old names.
I've done Roxy. I've done Smoke. I've done Ultra. Oh, my God. The list goes on. Like, I've done a lot of clubs. You know, I was consistent with the DJ game. I was up there. And at the same time, I was in a little trouble. You know, I was in the streets, you know, doing my thing. And, you know, I got into a little trouble in 2011. So, you know.
Oh, really? Okay.
That's where I learned how to cook, to tell you the truth.
Oh, really?
Before we get into the chefing, what's your best and worst memory from DJing?
My worst memory is I was at Mambo's and I was DJing and this drunk girl comes up to me. She's like, can you play this reggaeton song? She's drunk. I'm like, yeah, but watch out for your drink, please. And she's like moving and like she's being careless. God. Yo, her drink fell on my laptop like 12:40. Yo, I would never forget this night. Yo, I started spazzing out on this girl. I'm like, yo, get the out of this DJ booth. I started spazzing out. When I go check my laptop's completely fried. So it's 12:40. There's no music at Mambo's. You know what I'm saying? So I had to call back up. I call Flip, matter of fact. I'm like, Flip, what's up? Like, where you at? He's like, I'm DJing too. I'm like, damn, man, I need an extra laptop, bro. He didn't have one. Flacco didn't have one. So they kind of just had to play off some house CD player that they had.
Oh, no way. That's crazy.
It was whack, bro. Yo. And then the next day, I had to come up with like $2,800 to buy a new laptop.
Wow.
Literally, I had my savings of like $3,500. I'm like, I need a laptop. So I went, bought it, $2,800. I was devastated, but I had to, man. At least the songs were saved.
You had it.
And I just transferred the drive. But that's one of the worst memories. The best memory I ever had was at Tantric. My boy Jib, Arthur, Rob, what's up? You know, if you see me. They always used to do like an old school party at Tantric on Fridays. Yo, bro, like one of the best parties I've ever had. Cause it was all old school music. So it was like late 80s and all 90s and 2000. This was in 2002. Yo, the party was bananas. Oh my God. It was so packed. 400 people. Nah, it was just an old school party. But the songs that I would play, like Montel Jordan, Khalees, oh my God, 112, Candy Rain, like. I was like, yo, this is like a real dope.
That sounds
party.
Like Love You. We have that now. Love You Better. Where's Nasty does it.
Oh yeah, that's dope. Like I like that concept. So yeah, man, that's one of the best. And yo, I'm telling you, everybody's bringing me drinks, like trap, all the music you're playing is so dope.
Keep it coming, baby.
For Let's real. Yo, I had mad drinks that night, I got bad. You know what I'm saying? But it's crazy because I don't even drink like that no more. Like even when I DJ, I just, yo, just give me some wine, like rosé or red wine. That's what I drink now.
What's the best era in music for you?
90s, come on. That's like even
early 90s or late 90s.
I'm gonna just say 90 to 99.
Well, if you got, yeah. I guess specific, like in regards to 90s, are you talking about like hip hop? Are you talking about merengue, bachata? Hip-hop, I mean, because
I mean, music in general, like, you know what I mean? Every type of music has its own time, but hip hop specifically
in the
you,
90s,
yeah,
that was the best, man. Come on, like Illmatic dropped in the 90s, like that's a classic. When I heard that album, I was 14 years old, 13 Ooh, years old. Man. Like that album pushed me to like even love hip hop even more. I think Nas is the best rapper ever. That's just my opinion.
He's your favorite rapper.
I think he's the best MC rapper ever just because of his style. Because his albums might not be consistent because his albums got weaker.
Yeah.
Like Illmatic was dope.
Long time
ago. It was written was
I don't
dope.
Know. I don't know. I did because that Road to Zion with Distant Relatives.
That was dope.
That was fire. Yeah, but a lot of people slept on that.
Yeah, but that wasn't only a Nas album.
True.
But then if you hear Stillmatic was dope, but then like I didn't really like the N one, the one where he has the slashes in his. Mm. I didn't really like that album. Then I didn't like his double album. I don't know. It got kind
of. What's the name of that one?
I don't know. It was
you don't even remember.
Streets Disciple. So, Street's you know, Disciple, his his albums got. And Hip Hop Is Dead was kind of like.
Weak.
I don't know. He had two songs that were good.
I like that one. I think it was a little weak for Nas, but I like it.
Yeah, I liked it, but it wasn't like a Nas. Like, it wasn't Illmatic when it was written. Like, when Definitely. You think of Nas, you think of Illmatic and it was written. So, Fact. Nas, as far as a rapper, when I heard I Gave You Power, if you ever hear that song, when he talks about being a gun, yo, I was this dude, I've never heard a rapper do that. And then, yo, when I heard that song, and then I heard Rewind. I don't know if you ever heard Rewind when he's rapping backwards. Mm-hmm. Oh, come on, man. Like, I like, yo, this is the best rapper. I don't care if he don't even got to be platinum. It's just his words and his punchlines.
I just said
that's just me. You know,
that's how I feel about Pun.
Pun is dope, but I don't think he's top five. My opinion, lyrically, I don't think he's top five. I don't really like Eminem, but you got to put Eminem top five. It's like
I think
what
to
you,
me.
What do you
Eminem
think about
the
cipher?
That shit is whack.
You think?
We had that talk last week, but we didn't think. Like, I don't think it was a cipher.
Yeah, freestyle.
I think it was just the.
That wasn't a cipher. That was Eminem speaking his mind.
Yeah. Exactly.
Thank you.
And he was very, very, very angry. Like, I get it that you're mad. I get it. Everybody's mad that Trump's president. I get it. But his flow was like all over the place.
That's spoken word. That's
I know. I get it, but it was just like I don't
he's
know.
Like,
he
I
was,
get it. But
he's
I don't
too.
Like it.
Is too. He was too angry. I don't know. I wasn't like touched by it. I was like, yeah, I hate Trump.
I cried by the end of it.
You know, I hate Trump. I got it.
You said a gangster tear.
He went in and it's like.
He did. He just felt like the same way, like you said. Everybody feels the same way, that they hate where the country is right now. And you got this clown running it.
I think what was dope about it is that somebody who's in a higher position feels just like us and had the chance to put it out on TV. So now it's like. And just in case you ever doubted anybody hate Trump, now you have absolutely no doubt.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, we're not just making this up. Like,
he even
this
said
is
it
real.
To his fans, too.
Yeah.
If you like Trump, like, you could get it too, or something like that. I'm like, damn, yeah, this dude's going at everybody.
I felt that was so genuine. I think that's what made everybody like it more. you know, because it was a real moment. It wasn't like, you know, he was just doing that to, you know, because anybody would have just talked about Trump, never said nothing about their fans.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He put everything on the line.
He did, mm-hmm.
Because that's money he's losing. If you want to look at it through the business side, you know what I mean? He's losing money by just
yeah, but just telling his fans, like, yo, if you like Trump too, don't even buy my CD.
Exactly.
And he's okay with it.
And he's okay with it, yeah.
I mean, but his career is also done. So.
Yeah, his career is pretty much.
He already established himself
he
as.
Don't care.
Hey, man, he signed 50 Cent. He's done. You know, even though 50 Cent's career, I think 50 Cent's career is done too.
What? Wait, nah, musically?
No.
Where's his new album?
I thought you were talking about, like, his last album was
fine. I'm talking about rap-wise.
Yeah.
Where is 50 Cent?
No, he's done.
Yeah, he's done 50, musically, 50 but
Cent,
he got his show 50
Cent
on.
50 Cent has to go down as a legend, though.
Of course.
Yeah, of course. Come on. Give Rich or Die Tryin' is one of the best hip-hop albums of all time. That's like top 10.
Top 10, you think?
Yes.
I think top 10.
That's
I
agree.
That, that's an album.
That, I think that's my number six on my list. I got it written down.
Top 10 best albums of hip hop is Get Rich or Die
Tryin'. My number six.
I don't know where's it at. I gotta listen to a lot of albums, but top 10.
Hey, but
I don't know. Well, I think I mentioned that one in my
was kind of on the same level.
Which one?
It was
which
the Massacre?
The Massacre?
Album,
it was
and it was
right.
slept
yeah,
on
was
a lot.
It wasn't as good as Get Rich or Die Tryin'. It'll never, he'll never touch that.
But his last album was dope.
Which one? You don't even know, bro.
Like,
come on.
I don't know the name.
You both looked at him like, what? You got a new
one. No. It's like Before I Destruct, I think.
I Self-Destruct?
Yeah. Before I Self-Destruct.
Oh, you like that album?
I didn't really hear it.
Yo,
man.
The features on that is crazy. He got Jada.
It don't matter who he got on there. It wasn't great.
No, you got to listen to it. It was fire. He was actually, I think that was the first album to be a full, complete album with all videos.
Oh, every single song
every
was a video.
Every song was a video. That was the full, complete...
Maybe I got to listen to it.
Hustle's Ambition?
That was all
videos.
Hold on.
Beyoncé did it first, actually, for the B-Day album, if you want to get technical.
Yeah, but she's not hip-hop. She's R&B.
Oh, whatever.
All right.
How about that 444?
Yeah, that shit's dope.
Yo, that
so
album
grown.
Was so dope.
It was so clever. So
I think that's one
so
of Jay-Z's
messages.
Best album.
Oh, my... Ooh.
I wow. think so. Think about it.
It's
name know. Five Jay-Z's albums that are his
are
top five.
Really? Are you serious?
I could go with number one.
I could do
the
five.
Blueprint is number one.
The Blueprint? No.
What? Come on, that Kanye West album.
Hold on.
For me, it was.
Get ready. I'm gonna just say. I'm warning you right now. You just got these two.
I'm telling you.
On fire right now.
I'm a musical. Like I'm not a musical
say
genius,
Blueprint
but when it comes
two for me.
Blueprint two.
No, Blueprint two was garbage.
Maybe because it's a
it's good.
Personal favorite.
So
but it wasn't
about his first album.
I know, but Reasonable Doubt was not better. Than the Blueprint. If you listen to the Blueprint,
no, Reasonable Doubt was so ahead of its time.
I would think
okay,
it's number two.
I'm talking about lyrically, wordplay, cadence.
He does have a point because Blueprint was well rounded.
Yeah, but it was commercial.
Yeah, but your Song Cry. Come on, that song.
Yeah, they're all hits.
Song Cry was dope.
Cool
that song was just incredible.
Nah,
that, just on the album.
Disagree.
I go with the Blueprint as this first one. Number two will be Reasonable Doubt. Number three will be the Black Album.
Black Album.
The Black
Come
was
on,
was
the Black
nice.
Album was one
Are you
of
not
his
gonna put American Gangster
for me,
on the top
flipped,
five?
I got a problem with American Gangster. American Gangster was, I don't know if Jay-Z. I think he just took the concept of the movie and kind of just did.
Yes, that was the
did.
Genius part about it.
I know, but he's not Frank Thomas. Like, he made it seem like he was that guy in the movie.
He's a writer, though.
No, I know, but
it
still.
It was from beginning to end. It's a story.
I don't think it was better than 444, I'll tell you that. American Guest is not better than 444.
Magna Carta, I wasn't so
Magna
much
Carta
a fan
was
of.
Like a summer jam, like.
Oh, that
it wasn't.
That
me,
was that
honestly.
Was that album was not.
It was
I liked
for the
a
clubs.
Few songs, but it wasn't. Like,
In My Lifetime, you know. Volume 1 was all right. In My Lifetime, Volume 2 was too commercial. In My Lifetime, Volume 3, I didn't really.
What
like
you think
it.
About Kingdom Come?
Kingdom Come, it was a good album. But this you could skip songs like the one with his mom. I didn't really like that song. That the that he has a song with. It's talking about his mom. I forgot what song it was. But the one on 444 where he's talking about his mom being a lesbian. That one was dope.
That was really dope.
It's not really a Jay-Z album. Dynasty is actually
that's a rock. That's a
rock
familiar rock. Album. But
yeah, but that's one of my favorite. Like
Jay-Z's
you know,
a
in
beast.
The family.
Jay-Z's a beast, but I don't think he's better than Nas. Sorry, that's just me. Ether's the best this song ever. In hip hop,
it's the rock.
If you Google it, Ether's the best diss song ever in hip hop.
He
murdered that dude. He won that battle.
Of course.
He didn't win the war, But he won that battle because Ether was disrespectful.
Ether was disrespectful, but Jay-Z's this song still gets played in the clubs today.
No, it does. But you can't play Ether in a club. No, you can't do that. No,
there's people that still play it in the club.
I know, but still.
That's you still get the same reaction all the time.
Everybody gets mad, right?
But people be like rapping in like wow.
I'm gonna throw my two cents in. The best diss track, I think, of this generation has to be Back to Back. I mean, what type of diss track gets nominated for a Grammy?
No, oh, Drake?
No, I don't agree with that.
Come on, man.
I think it was
this is the new school. I'm talking about
new school. No. New school, I would give it a 50 Cent. Piggy Bank.
Back Down.
Piggy Bank? No.
Back Down.
What?
No, Back Down.
No. Back Down. The best diss track is G-Unit, I Smell Pussy. That one, that's the best track. You can throw it on the album.
That's a good one, but it wasn't the best one.
Now, the best diss song ever, if you Google it right now, is Ether. It's number one. Number two is probably Hit 'Em Up with Tupac. And I think it's number two. I don't know. And then Takeover might be like number three or number four. But Ether, man, that song was
disrespectful.
We're
going to definitely bring you back and just going to have another discussion. Because they had an episode. We weren't all there. They had like a top hip-hop. But now we got more sources. We're going to bring you back for that.
That would be fun.
Yeah, that would be fun. And I'll make sure we'll make a hip-hop.
There's one thing that I bet you he would agree with.
What?
Let's go.
Rakim. One of the greats.
Yes. Top 10 MCs of all time.
I think a lot of people just skip them.
Well, the thing is that like this generation doesn't know that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
their standards are not.
Nobody's going to know Rakim.
A lot of his rhymes is being bitten by a lot of these new rappers.
They are.
And it's crazy. And I look at it like, yo, this rapper just literally took Rakim's whole flow.
And his style. But a lot of rappers did that. It's like Jay-Z kind of took Big Daddy Kane's flow. Mm-hmm. And Biggie, too. They took his style. Like, he was like that playboy in the street that kicked it to girls, but still did his thing in the streets. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of rappers adapt to, like, Rakim, Big Daddy Kane. KRS-One is probably one of the best MCs, but he's not now. But when he was out, KRS-One was a beast. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. a lot of people don't listen to him because he's into this political stuff and he's into this conspiracy stuff. But when he was out with Boogie Down Productions, yo, KRS-One, he said some stuff in his album. So,
but you did mention being in the streets.
And oh, yes.
That connects back to what you said earlier.
Yes. So,
about getting into some trouble.
Yeah, I got into some trouble in 2011. They know me from like my father used to own a store. He don't own it right now. You know, some little bank problem happened, whatever. But man, I've been working in my dad's store since I was like 8, man. Like,
it was open for 30 years, right?
I was in and out. You know, my dad used to have one on, he had two locations. He had one on Cranston Street on one side, which was a little store. Then he opened there was a furniture store across the street. He bought the building and he expanded. He was there for like 26 years since like 93, 94. So I've been working there with him as a little kid. Me and my brother, you know, my sister was little, but in and out, I've been working there for a long time. So I met a lot of people. So when you're in that environment, I'm sorry, but Cranston Street, West End, is one of the worst neighborhoods in Rhode Island.
Absolutely. 100%.
If it's not that, it's
not,
clown town.
Not bad, but it's not bad, violence, but like just like the grungiest.
Like the grimy. Like, ew, yeah. You know, like this prostitutes, this like crack dealers and every, you know, crack users and every, there. You know what I'm saying? So that West End area, Cranston Street, Wadsworth, Waldo, you know.
Wadsworth.
I grew up on Waldo, so, and Cranston Street, so. Like, I know that area. I got introduced to crack, to sell crack. I got introduced to selling weed in high school. Like, my first week in high school, my cousin's like...
What?
My cousin was like, yo, you're going to sell weed, and I'm going to sell coke. I'm like, what do you mean, dog? So, he gave me a thing. I backed it up, and that's how it went. Ever since, you know, I've been doing that, and I got caught in 2011, man, for some bull. Narcotics was watching me, and then I got bagged. I did 6 months, but while I was in jail, my eyes opened up, man. I'm telling you, I don't know if any of you's been locked up, but
I have. I did an hour once at the station.
I did.
That's not locked up.
That's not locked up. That's just holding.
It was a hard 5 hours.
They just hold you.
I struggled.
Yeah, I did. I did some. You know, I got bagged up. I violated. My first time getting bagged up was in the West End. I was on Bellevue. That's Bellevue, the one next to my dad's store. That's Bellevue, right?
Benedict.
I was on Benedict, and I was serving some dude that was serving crack, and he was serving a narcotic. I got back. My first charge, it was a misdemeanor. So I didn't really get a big, you know, I didn't get arrested. I got arrested for the night. Next day, I was out because of my first charge. But they gave me 3 years probation.
Okay.
Wow. So wait. I violated my probation.
Oh, okay.
On them 3 years. I got caught in 2008. My first one, and then in 2011, literally 2 months before my probation was over,
come on, man.
I got backed up right behind City Lock. Come I don't know where you know what City Lock is. So I was
is that still there?
Yeah, that's still there.
I was there. I was at a party. Just, you know, my phone was ringing. I was just, like, serving people. I was drunk. I was being careless. And the whole time, there's, like, narcotics just watching the block, and they see me serve all these people.
Ooh.
Oh my God! They came out, and they, when I got into my car, they came at me, and they're like, "Hey, you're selling weed over here like it's candy." And I'm like, "I don't even know what you're talking about." They're like, "Yeah, we know what you're doing." So I went to downtown, and you know, I thought I was gonna get out within the weekend, and they're like, "Nah, you violated your probation." So they tried to give me 2 years. I'm like, "For weed? Like, you gave me 2 years for weed? Like, that doesn't even hurt people. Like, liquor hurts people.
Mm-hmm.
But weed doesn't. You know what I'm saying? I think weed..."
And that was especially in a time where there was a little hotter on it. Because now...
Now it's like they don't care. You can get a citation now, I think, if you get pulled over with a blunt or something. Or they make you throw it out.
Yeah.
But when I got backed up, they were strong on it. I had a lot of bags, like, backed up. Like, a lot. Mm-hmm. And they seen that I was serving people. So my charge was, like... delivery, substance control, having things backed up. So they tried to give me 2 years. I told my lawyer, I'm like, I'm not doing 2 years for weed, bro. Like, that's insane. Like, why? They're like, oh, you got caught with all this amount of money, and they seen you doing this. And I'm like, yo, I'm not doing 2 years. How much you want? So I had to give him more money. I gave him like a couple G's more, and he brought it down to 6 months. So in the 6 months, I did five, because you get good time in there.
Mm-hmm.
But my first time being in jail, yo, dog.
Tell like, us.
I did 48 hours locked down, and I had one hamburger in 48 hours. And it was a straight flat bench, like metal bench.
Oh my God.
So that opened my eyes right there. I was like, yo, I don't want to do this shit again. You crazy? Then after that, I'm thinking like, I'm going to go see the judge, and I'm going to get bail. Yeah, right. After I seen the judge sentenced me. And he said, you got to go to intake. Intake was even worse. Because in intake, everybody's locked up. So there's drug dealers, there's rapists, there's murderers. Like, I go into my block. I had, I think it was E-dorm or E-block. I go in, and I know this Puerto Rican guy. He's like, oh, shoot, Trap, what up? And, you know, right away, I'm like, oh, shit, I got a buddy here. He's like, yo, I got to school you, man. You know, everybody in here just is not here for just drugs. I'm like, what you mean? You see that African guy there? He raped his daughter. His daughter was five. I'm like, no, get out of here. He's like, yeah, this dude killed two dudes on some street, on Charles Street. I'm like, get out of here. So he's like, intake, everybody gets locked up, and then they sentence you to your...
Whatever
jail. Like, minimum is, like, drug dealers. Like, minimum crimes. Medium is more like cocaine, rapists. But then maximum is, like, a high rape charge or, like, kidnapping or, like, murder.
That sounds like a scary movie.
Yeah.
I was at minimum. And at minimum, you have to work. Automatically, like, the first week that you're in there, you have to go to work and you have to go to school. Like, that's mandatory. If you don't, you get put into SEG. So SEG is like a 23-hour lockdown. If you don't want to go to school, they'll be like, oh, you're going to go to SEG. So mandatory, you got to go to, you know, you have to work. So I worked at Water Place Park downtown, cleaning graffiti, cleaning the leaves every morning from 8 to 1 p.m. You get paid $3 a day. So
what?
5 days from Monday to Friday, that's 18 bucks a week. That's what you get.
Ballin'.
That's what you get in jail. To me, that's slavery.
Because
you literally have to put on like blowers and you got to clean graffiti, but you're getting paid $3 a day. I don't know how much it is an hour. I didn't even do the calculations.
We won't go into that. That sounds pretty sad as it is.
$18 a day, I mean, a week. Yes, wow.
You're looking
like,
at cents per hour.
Cents per hour, pretty much. You get commissary on Wednesdays, so you know, you can order like all this food and all this stuff. So I had a good support system. My baby mom's was there through the whole bit. My father was there. My brother was there. But in jail, I seen inmates make bowls. Like, they will take noodles or they will take, like, a type of rice and they'll cook it with the heating system that was in their room. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Like, what is this? So they're making these bowls.
Like a
so
crock pot.
Yeah, it's like a plastic bowl, and then they'll make noodles or they'll make rice, and then they'll season the meat. So you can order meat from your commissary, and you can order sauces. Like, these guys made burritos out of nacho chips. So they'll buy mad bags of nachos. They'll crush it into a bag, a garbage bag, add water, a little bit of salt, and they'll make it into a dough. And then they'll put the dough flat on the floor.
That is
and
crazy.
And then they'll, you know, you get Cheese Whiz in your commissary. You'll get like turkey logs and all these types of meat, sometimes jalapeno. And they'll roll that Dorito dough into a burrito. And I'm like, wow, that's genius. Like, when I see that.
They do say that. That people's crazy. Creativity come when they have nothing to do.
Exactly.
So survival
of the fittest. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
So
did you get inspiration from that?
Exactly. So I seen people make like all these type of bowls, and I'm like, how do you get these ingredients? He's like, oh, you get it from your commissary, or if you could sneak it from the kitchen, because when we get chow, when we go to eat, they call it chow. So they'll be like, chow, and then you got to go downstairs and you eat. Sometimes you can sneak stuff back into the dorm because they don't check you, but you're not supposed to. If they catch you with like ketchup or mustard or like a fork or anything, you'll get seg is like, damn, right away you get 24-hour lockdown. So if you could sneak in like cabbage or like, you know, sometimes we'll have like chicken pot pie, they'll take the chicken out and put it inside like a cup, and they'll put it in their pocket so they could put it, they could eat it for like their meals at night.
I'm yo,
like,
that's insane. That's
I'm
insane,
telling you, bro,
man.
Like, yo, jail.
I can never picture Rob in jail.
I can't. I won't.
Don't do it.
Nah, never.
So
I mean,
yeah,
it
you
would
know,
never happen. He's perfect.
I won't say that. But anyway, continue on.
I got inspired by that. You know, I started seeing these guys making these bowls. Like, this one dude used to just sell his bowls. He'll make a bowl called Macro Bomb. And it was literally macro fish seasoned with like coffee and ketchup. Ew. And soy sauce. Yo, this shit is mad good. I'm like, yo, this is bomb.
So that's
is that actually something that you took into like, you know what? I'm going to put it into my future project.
Put it like this. The day I got out of jail, I made a macro bomb.
you know why they use coffee though, right?
It kills the
taste. Off the fish.
Yeah.
Fish taste.
I don't know. Whatever he made, he showed me how to do it. I was like, this is insanely delicious. It was good.
He was on
and
there.
It had like Dorito. It had like this
know.
Dorito crisp on top. It was.
You know
bomb.
What? I think I trust you though, because your food is good. So.
Oh, so.
Yeah. So tell us, man. So after you got out of jail.
Oh, so, you know, I got into culinary.
Okay.
Right away. So, I had some money.
So jail technically was a blessing.
So in jail, I learned how to cook bowls, and okay, I started selling bowls. So you could sell bowls for like $8, but currency is your commissary. So okay, you would have to give somebody $8 worth of commissary products. So like toothbrushes, soap, pens, notebooks. That's what a trade is. That's what currency is over there. So I started selling bowls. And when I got while I was in jail, I started my surf safe. Okay. So and then I started reading books about Gordon Ramsay and all these chefs. And I was like, yo, this is like this might be something that I want to do, because I'm actually selling a lot of bowls. I used to sell like 12 bowls a week, which is good for a person that I had like 2 months left. And I was still selling like 12 bowls a week. So I got out of jail and I had some money. You know, I had some money that I had saved up. So I started going to all these restaurants. Mm-hmm. So I started going to like Al Forno, Ruth Chris Steakhouse, Nick's on Broadway, Julian's. I just started seeing like plates being plated or textures of food.
Mm-hmm.
I went into a culinary program called the Genesis Center. I don't know if you guys know where Potter's is, where that playground is on Potter's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That school building that has a playground outside on Potter's. So I went there. My dad told me to go there. He's like, yo, you really into food? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, go to this program. It's free. And they'll give you classes. So when I enrolled, the chef, the instructor, used to work at Al Forno. Al Forno's the only restaurant in Rhode Island that has a James Beard Award. A James Beard Award is kind of like, it's kind of like the Emmy of restaurants. Mm. So you could get a Michelin star. No restaurant in Rhode Island has a Michelin star. But Al Forno's probably the only restaurant that's ever won a James Beard Award. And he worked there, and he's seen that. You know, in the process of the class, I aced the 99.2.
Sweet.
So I did all the, you know, I did all the projects. I was really into it. And then he's like, I never give a student an internship at Al Forno, but I'm going to give it to you.
Wow.
So I was like, wow. So he's like, I'm going to give you a 4-month internship at Al Forno. Mm-hmm. When I went into that kitchen, that's when I really got like inspired about like, you know, organic foods and buying chickens from like farms, because everything from Al Forno came from a farm. It's not like they went to Restaurant Depot or they order from like a, you know, from like a Cisco company. Cisco is kind of like one of the biggest companies that distributes to restaurants. Mm-hmm. Everything came from a farm. The carrots, the corn, the salt, even the salt came from like some company that's like organic. And I'm like, yo, like these people really like they're into food. So you can tell the difference. Like I'm not trying to hate on restaurants, but if you go to a restaurant and your chicken is chewy and hard, the chicken's not. Is not raised or wasn't produced
like McDonald's, properly,
like McDonald's, or like I don't know, like Olive Garden. You know, Apple I'm not trying cheese. To hate, but I'm just saying when you go to restaurants that are commercial kitchens, you can tell the quality of food instead of going to like Nick's on Broadway or Al Forno or like a local mom and pop shop where they're buying chickens from like Rhode Island vendors. You can tell the difference of the food. So Al Forno kind of gave me that inspiration, and then you know I started working at I worked at Greg's. I was a dishwasher for a year at Greg's, then became a prep cook, then a line cook, and then I quit that job. Went to Bertucci's as a pizza maker. I was there for like 6 months, and then I went to, you know, the Not Travis Joe's in Workmore?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Not Travis Joe's?
Yeah.
Oh, all right, so they were opening up in November of 2013. Yep, November 2013. I went there, I started as a line cook, and then I became a sous chef. So a sous chef is the person under the executive chef. The executive chef is the person that runs the kitchen. Mm-hmm. So that's what I was when I opened my restaurant. But sous chef means that when the executive chef is not around, this person is in charge. Meaning like his culinary experience is so good that line cooks or like prep cooks or dishwasher have to go to him to ask him any questions. So I became a sous chef. I was a sous chef for like 3 months. My daughter was born in the process of me being a sous chef. She was
so
born
you were cooking literally.
Like I was the day that my
were
daughter
you putting
was
putting the bun in the oven.
Yeah,
for real.
Exactly.
The day my daughter was born, I was literally sauteing, and they're like, "Yo, you gotta go." I'm like, "Why?" They're like, "Your baby mom's is in the hospital, about to give birth." I'm like, "Oh," so I had to cut the line. The executive chef took over, and I left that job because I found a spot on Reservoir Ave that was tiny. It was beat down, but it was tiny. And I'm like, yo, why don't I put all this culinary experience into Spanish food? You know, like there's no Dominican spots in Rhode Island
that
takes pride. Like, yeah, like gourmet. Like facts. Gran Parada, dope. Ramaraya, dope. But those are cafeteria style. Mm-hmm. There's no restaurant in Rhode Island that's Dominican. No. That maybe La Roca. Mm-hmm. La Roca's good, so but good. They're like, I think they're so...
I think they fell off over the years, honestly.
They did. They, you know, they got rid of cooks.
I think, I don't know, I still love it.
No, I love La Roca. I think La Roca is bomb, but...
I think it's the best
It's not
one.
The level it used to be.
Right.
But the thing is that I've seen where they buy their food from, and I don't agree where they buy their food from. Mm. That's just me. I'm more of like, you know, like... I want to go to farms and buy like the best. That like if I want to buy cilantro, I want to buy it from a farm because I know that it's fresh and it's good. And like the chicken too.
But isn't
I buy
that more expensive?
It is more expensive. But when you taste my chicken compared to La Roca chicken, I'd be like, wow, this chicken is tender. Fact. It's soft. When you swallow it, you don't have to chew it that much. It's like I'm telling you, it's like one of the best Buffoni farm. I created a good relationship with this farm. It's called Buffoni. They have one of the best chickens in Rhode Island. If you want to buy chicken, go to Johnston, Rhode Island. There's a farm called Buffoni's Poultry Farm. The guy's name is Don. There's three owners, but the guy that I affiliate with, his name is Don. The chicken's amazing, man. It's like tender. It's soft. The chickens are raised like with love. There's no antibiotics. They serve like an all vegetarian diet. They're never in sounds cages.
Like, sounds like they're I buttering know. Them up.
No, no.
Like, they're like, get ready, girls, because you're about to be next.
You know, I don't, you know, it's just the chicken's delicious, man. So the first time I had it there, you know, I opened up my restaurant in 2014 in July, Blend Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, oh my God, like the first time that I, you know, the first 3 months was kind of like,
yeah,
it was kind of hard. It, you know, restaurants don't just, take off right away. But, you know, 2014.
Can I give my review real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
I never got to do it. You know, there was a Yelp for it.
Okay. Here we go.
I had the blend burger.
Yeah.
And it's salami. fried cheese, a burger meat, and there was something else.
Guacamole.
Guacamole, which I didn't want. So that's probably why I forgot.
Okay.
And it was one of... When I was reading it, I was like, this sounds crazy, but I have to try it. Because I'm at Blend Cafe, and everybody's talking about this Blend burger. And you have to get the Morisignando. It tastes perfect, blah, blah. So I get it. And it is delicious. And then I had the burger, and I bit it, and I was like, I can't believe I'm eating this right now. Like, this is crazy.
It's very, very fattening. it is a lot, but it's good.
Sweet potato fries.
Yeah, we had sweet potato fries. I used to make a strawberry ketchup. So I used to make ketchup out of strawberries instead of tomatoes. Or you could dip your juca fries into the strawberries.
Oh, man.
Yeah, delicious. And they were juca fries. Yeah, juca fries.
Now, how long were you at Reservoir? Because I know you guys, then you moved Blend.
Oh, so I was in Reservoir for 2 years. 2016, I closed it down because I had an investor come in and he loved the concept. He loved the food. He said, yo, I think you have a great thing here. The only thing I didn't have was a bar.
Okay.
Restaurants do not survive on bars. I mean, they don't survive only on food.
Okay.
70% of your sales come from liquor because liquor doesn't go bad. So you could buy a Henny bottle 3 years from now. The Henny bottle still, it might even taste better from age. But you can't buy a chicken and eat it 3 years from now. You know what I'm saying? So that's where your money is at, is the liquor. So I didn't have liquor. He came in. I got a spot. It has a bar. I seen the spot. I loved it. At first the contract was kind of shady and I didn't really agree with it. So my lawyer said not to sign it. I didn't sign the contract, but we still open up Blend PVD, which is on Atwell's Ave.
Okay.
No, it's in De Pascal Square right now. My lawyer said just to open because I didn't have a job. He's like, just open it for him. Just see if you guys can work together.
Yeah.
And we'll do like a 90-day
testing period.
Like testing period. Like we'll meet again, his lawyer. And, you know, the investor, his lawyer, me and my lawyer will come together. And on the 87th day, he just decided to fire me. He just sent me a text. He's like, yo, you know, you put everything before this restaurant. He said something like that. Like, you put everything before this restaurant. He wanted to talk to me, but
I saw that on Facebook.
I'm like, my shift ends at 5. Why would you tell me at 3:30 that you need to talk to me at 5? Like, you think I don't have a outside life.
Right.
Out of, like, my shift. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I had plans with my family to go out. And he's like, nah, I want to talk to you. I'm like, it doesn't work like that, bro. Like, you tell me ahead of time. Tell me, like, in the morning or tell me the day before. Like, on Saturday before you leave, I need to talk to you. He told me, like, an hour and a half before. Like, yo, I got to talk to you. I'm like, bro, I got plans. Like, I got something to do. And then he sent me a text, like, at 9 o'clock. Like, yo, you know, you're done. I don't need you. You put everything before this restaurant. I'm like, yo, you know you're taking the heart of this restaurant. You're taking, like, the person that actually created it.
Yeah.
And I'm not hating. I'm not. But I've seen the reviews, and I've seen where that place is.
You
now
can hate because I don't go there.
A lot of people don't go there.
Let me tell you, I was there on the Thursday night because he was trying to do that Latin night on Thursday, and I was DJing there for a couple weeks.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, and I think I was there the week before you were fired.
Get out.
Yeah, and I saw you go by the kitchen. I'm like, oh, that's Wobby. I mean, you know, I'm sure he's busy, but it was just crazy how I think he told me to stop DJing because it was in the winter and he was trying to get that
That tarp that's outside.
Right.
Yeah.
And then that happened. I'm like, you know what? I can't mess with that because, you know, that's, to me, when I think of Blunt, I think of you.
That's what everybody says.
That's your project, man. That's your
and
baby.
And the food is not Dominican.
It's not the same.
It's not Dominican food,
It's
right?
not Dominican. And they don't even have a Dominican chef. From what I know, they don't have a Dominican chef.
So.
But the first month that we opened, yo, I don't know who went there the first month, but we opened July of 2016. Yo, bro, every single day was packed.
Yeah.
Like the outside. We had a line outside to try to get in. It was packed. Like that dude made money when I was there the first 2 months. Because once September came and school came, it kind of died down.
Yeah.
But for July and August, yo.
Such a great
Fed
spot.
Hill's,
yeah,
like,
it's
so
it's
popular, too.
Yo, I'm telling you.
And then they're like, Dominican food?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And it was cooked right? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wasn't perfect, but I tried to make it right. I never ran a restaurant as executive chef that had almost 200 seats. Like, that was a lot of seats. Like, my restaurant was only 40 on Reservoir Ave. But I had help, but still, you know.
Yeah.
He took the heart out, and I told him, like, yo, you know, nobody's going to cook like me. And you can use my recipes, but nobody's going to have the detail or the heart or the passion to cook the way that I cook. Yeah. Not your Guatemalan chef, not none of them dudes. I'm like, I'm the one that invented this cuisine.
I have a question about that, because we have about 5 minutes.
Okay.
Do you think that Would you open up your own restaurant again?
I would, but I would partner up with the right person.
Okay.
Like, I want to do a partnership. I got a concept right now that's going to blow. It will blow, like, I'm
just,
telling you.
Just
like,
say it, man. Are you going to blow
blood? No, we can't.
I don't want to give too much because, you know, somebody might take my idea, but.
So, but about the food. So, nobody's going to cook like Welby. So can you run your restaurant being the only chef? You can't.
No. So you got to hire like a sous chef or you got to hire line cooks. But the thing about running restaurants is that you got to train people. It's like a manager. You got to babysit people. You got to tell them, look, this is the way that I, like this bottle, it has to be made like this every time. Don't do it your way because if you do your way, it's going to taste different. Mm-hmm. But you got to train people, you know, before you open a restaurant, you got to have like a month training or 2 months to decorate, make sure everything's in place. That's why I like the restaurant that I'm in now because the chef is passionate and he makes everything from scratch. Like, he makes his own bread, he makes his own sausages, he makes his own bacon. Like, everything is made in that restaurant and I'm learning so much from him because he's such a good chef. But to run a I would want to open up my own restaurant. It's just that I want to partner up with the right person.
Where are you now?
It's called the Salted Slate.
You missed it, bro.
You missed it because you were late.
Yeah, yeah. So the Salted Slate is in Wayland Square. You know Wayland Square in the east side?
East side, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's a farm-to-table restaurant. Everything comes from farms. The menu's small. So when you go to a restaurant, remember, the menu, you want it to be one page. No more than 20 items. When you go to a restaurant like Cheesecake Factory.
It has like 10 pages.
It's like 10 pages. The food quality is not gonna be like, you know, top. Now, I'm not saying that all of you are into health. I'm into health right now. I'm a vegetarian. I haven't ate meat since April.
God bless you.
I don't know.
Congratulations.
I seen a couple documentaries like What the Health.
Oh, everybody's talking about
that. I saw Earthlings, which was pretty graphic the way that United States manufacture animals. So I'm a softy for animals. I'm sorry, that's just me. Like, I love dogs. I don't really like cats, but I love animals, and I don't feel like they should be mistreated the way that this country does. I think like they produce too much, and then it's just not right. So I'm a vegetarian. I try to eliminate cheese. Cheese is hard. It's probably the hardest thing to eliminate from your diet because it's so good.
So when you open your own restaurant, would you?
Oh no, it's gonna have meat, of course, because I can't tell everybody.
Nope.
That's gonna come in. You can't eat chicken. Like, I'm gonna have options. So I'll do a vegetarian option, but my concept is small plates. So you know when you go to Los Andes, because everybody go to Los Andes, you
so
get good. Like. Doggy bags to go home. Like, you order churrasco, that's just like the size of your head.
that's
you know, and you get mad rice. So like, I think that's not the way that people want to eat nowadays. I'd rather go to a restaurant, pay like $12 for something small and order a couple of them and share with people. Like, yo, try this. This is good. This is shrimp with I don't know what, you know. But like, these big plates right now, it's like I go out on a date with a girl and they're not gonna eat a big old
she's
plate.
Gonna be weak.
You know,
you're gonna have to take her home.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, he's gonna go over like, you know, I just wasted $20 on you.
Exactly.
You better eat this, girl.
$20. $20, more like $100. You know what I'm saying? A day's like $110. So
that's mad.
So we heard the exclusive. You're coming up with something big.
Oh yeah, I'm working on it. I'm writing a business plan right now. So you know, it's in the works. I gotta get my financials right, trying to fix my credit, find the right partner. I'm trying to open up a prep meal business.
Uh-huh.
That's like my next project right now, maybe January, February. So you get to order prep meal.
Let me know, because I'm back in the gym, so...
Okay. I'm in the gym strong, lying. So...
No, it's a fact.
Anybody that wants to do prep meals, that's going to be my next venture until I open up my restaurant. Mm. So it's just prep meals. It's going to be Latino style, new American, so... you get to order through an app. Everything's gonna be app based.
Oh,
so.
You have the app ready?
No, no. I gotta get somebody.
It's coming.
The app,
wait, bro.
You know?
Damn.
So, but for now, though, where can the people? How can people contact you?
Oh, through Facebook or Instagram, or you know, a lot of people know my number. I haven't changed my number since like '96, since Nextel came out. I've had my number since Nextel came out, so I don't know who remembers Nextel.
Of course,
but you know, I have my number since. So a lot of people know my number, but if not, you know, chefwellbg@gmail.com. I'm at the Salted Slate Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays, Fridays from 3 to close. I'm not there Saturday. Saturday is like my day to be with my daughter. And then Sunday nights, I'm there too. So if you guys want to come by, the food is delicious. Not my food, but I am cooking it. I made two specials though there. I made a rabo there.
Okay.
Oh my God! The chef had.
I gotta go check.
Yo,
that
the
out.
Chef had oxtail, and he's like, "This is your type of people food." I'm like, "My type of people."
This is just
he's like, "Your type of people eat oxtail." I'm like, "Hey, like, chef, come on, people. Chill." Hey, he's like, "Nah, I'm only playing." So he gave me some oxtail. I made rabo with risotto. It was delicious, and it had like sofrito on it. Yo, the dish sold out like in 2 days. Like white people were like. They were
oh my gosh.
The flavor was insane.
He's like, compliments to the chef.
The tail was so soft and juicy. Oh my God. I'm trying. I wish I could eat it, but I can just tell. Like, when I pulled it apart and I gave it to the chef, I'm like, chef, try this. He's like, yo, this is good. And that's my mom's recipe. So,
nice. Yeah.
So, you know, I put in my little 2 cents in there sometimes.
Look at that. Word. Chef. During the day and still somehow to manage to DJ too.
At night, yeah. I don't know when the next time I'm gonna DJ. I don't know. These promoters are kind of, they're not my style right now. You know,
things are different. But I think you're a better chef than you are a DJ. Oh, let's keep you in the kitchen.
Yeah,
and I know.
Bring
please.
The Dominican, the gourmet Dominican food. Because I miss Blend Cafe. I
know.
Still want some of that cheesecake, and I don't like cheesecake, but I ate your cheesecake.
Oh,
and I was like, this is crazy.
Yeah, my cheesecake was bomb. And I made a tres leches out of plátano maduro. Like, whoever thinks of that.
Come on, look at this. Stick to
maduro?
We need
sold out.
Stick to that. Stick to the food. We need that for the culture, as they say.
Yes, yes, yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, my boy DJ Trap, a.k.a. Welby, a.k.a. the chef master of Rhode Island.
Hey, yeah.
The pioneer.
Check me out. Oh, I got a new mixtape out, too. It's called The Bachelor 4.
Where can they find it?
ThatPiff.com, probably all the Habibi stores that are out there, because Cook Rock is the distribution. He's my distribution manager.
Shout out to Cook.
Yeah, shout out Cook Rock. You know, he's a beast in that. That's what he does. The mixtape is dope. It's old school R&B with, like, new school beats, you know, so... I know you heard it.
I have it.
So some people, you know, some people like it. Some people don't really like the old school.
I'm still one of the four copies that she
I think I got some in my car. I'll give you guys some copies, you know.
Words. Welby, thank you. Thank you so much. One more time for Chef Welby over here.
Ow.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm hungry for some food now.
I'm starving.
Now you got to cook for us.
I know, right?
I wish you had a kitchen here.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is a wrap for Spark Up PBD for this week. We'll catch y'all next week. Annie, suéltalo.
Liddy.